This is the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket, the only local sports talk show in the Mid-Willamette Valley. Now, here's Jeff Morgan and Hunter Newton on 1430 KYKN.
Well, here we are on a beautiful, almost over, Friday afternoon, gorgeous week. Hopefully, all of you got to get out there and enjoy a little bit of it. Unlike Hunter, who is stuck in the radio station, aren't you?
Well, we just need a few more windows, you know.
Yeah, I think yours is the only office that doesn't have one.
Yeah, that's right. I have one that's out to the lobby, so I get to see where the sun is coming in through the outside windows.
Yeah, we try to keep Hunter in a little cubby hole.
I work better
he
that way.
He causes too much trouble. Can't have that going on.
I mean, I just realized that, you know, when they decide that they're going to let me out, they might have to put me in a, you know, windowless Mercedes Sprinter van.
And that's right. Which, by the way, right now you can get 0% APR for up to 60 months on select Sprinter models. So if you need one, now's the time.
If you need one for hauling me around in the dark in the back.
That's right. Well, they do come with some windows, Hunter.
Yeah, I know.
I wouldn't let you go windowless.
Thanks, Jeff. You're a real lifesaver. Especially on days like today where the sun is actually shining.
Well, if you do see Hunter driving around in the KYKN van, it's bright red. Mm-hmm. And that just has front and passenger and...
back windows.
Yeah, and back windows.
Yep.
So there's not very many windows there either. So I don't know what they're trying to tell you.
Better windows, just keep me hidden away. I guess I got a face for radio, you know.
Well, windows are overrated. Yeah, we can't have it. I think you're trying to be in disguise.
That's right.
Keeping a low profile. Hunter Newton.
With a big red billboard driving around.
Right.
Hiding out.
Yeah, if you see him, start honking at him.
That's right.
I think you need to draw some attention.
Single
to this
finger
guy.
Salutes and things like that.
Yeah, we can't have any of those. I don't think that our listeners would do that.
No. They like
absolutely
us.
Absolutely not. All right.
Well, we should probably start off by mentioning, of course, after we go off the air, you get an extra 15 minutes or so with us today before we turn it over to Charlie McGuire at South Salem High School, where he has actually got the West Salem at South Salem boys basketball game tonight for our high school football or high school basketball game of the week. I forget what season it is.
Yeah,
the Super Bowl Sunday
football's
coming
over.
Up. Not yet. We got one more game left. And we'll get to that one, believe me.
That's true.
But for programming notes, we should also mention that there is no high school basketball game next Friday because Charlie's going to do it on Tuesday, where he will again have the South Salem boys, but this time at McNary High School against the Celtics. So next Tuesday for your nice next high school basketball game of the week. And I do have the schedule for the rest of the year. Charlie will be out at McNary again on the 20th of February for the West Salem girls at McNary girls. And our own Mike Allager will then give us some bonus coverage for Silverton at South Albany, the boys and the girls game. He's going to do a doubleheader on Tuesday the 24th.
That guy, he must be bored.
He must love basketball.
Either that.
That's right. And then, of course, we finish up the regular season that Friday, the 27th, West Salem at Sprague, the girls basketball game one more time.
Yeah, I think we also had some other programming changes for tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
10 o'clock, the Ducks are taking on the Purdue Boilermakers on the road in Indiana. And that game is going to be tipping off at 10 o'clock. And I think we've got, a half an hour pregame show.
So 9:30, we go to the game tomorrow morning.
And then... let's see, I think Oregon State, we're obviously not carrying them, but I think they're playing...
like 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Gonzaga at Gill Coliseum. So that's actually going to be a really stinking good game. So if you, taking a Beaver game, go cheer these guys on because both squads are struggling, Ducks and Beavs. I mean, it's been a rough year.
Yeah, but, you know, as you said earlier, the Beavs beat Gonzaga in a big upset a year ago. So there's a reason they play the games. Anything can happen, even though the Zags right now are sixth in the nation at 22-2 on the season. And I believe the Beavs are like 12-13, so a game under 500.
Yeah, and if people didn't see it, just a couple of days ago, Gonzaga actually got beat by the Portland Pilots.
Well.
And 13 points. And what happened? Portland, I mean, they're 10-14 or 11-14 now on the season, but were 10-14. Gonzaga had only lost one game. And to go into the Pilots Arena and just pretty much lay an egg as the number six team in the country.
Well, you know, you assume that the Portland Pilots, they probably were in a bit of a rush, bit energized. They needed to get out to a mostly peaceful protest. I'm sure there was one happening in Portland that evening. So, you know, take the time out. Let's quickly win this game and head on out and hit the streets.
Well, I think they were actually making some pretty long threes, mm-hmm. so maybe they were ready to get out there and wanted to make sure they put this thing away, and they did.
Oh, well, congratulations. That's kind of our upcoming programming through the high school basketball season month of February. Of course, we will also be covering some playoff games into March, and also if the Ducks make it into any March Madness we will be covering that as well. At least a game in the Big Ten tournament, right?
Yeah, I like how you a singular statement there, a game, because that's probably what's going to happen. Yeah, actually, people were talking about this week about Dana Altman. This is the worst season he has ever had as a head coach. It was basically the first season when he was just became the coach at Creighton. This actually is worse than that. But injuries have obviously taken a toll. And, you know, I think this may be what happens sometimes when you're trying to grab guys out of the portal, too. Mm-hmm. And you've got, you know, a lot of your key players that leave. And then there's just not – they just can't get that cohesiveness, because typically his units start slow during the season and then pick it up come tournament time. But – this year's just been just kind of a debacle.
Yeah, well, like you said, you add in a couple of key injuries, and you know, I think the Ducks may really signify the state of college basketball right now when it comes to basketball is you know, five guys on the court at a time. It is a big-time team game, and we see at the NBA level these super teams that get put together that stumble badly. Why? Because when you have a bunch of selfish me-first players instead of team players, even the best of the best tend to struggle when everybody's fighting for their own piece of the pie against their own teammates. And you can definitely see some of that in college basketball these days, where the Ducks may be the polar opposite, where it's like no one wants to shoot. So they just pass the ball around till the shot clock runs out and then throw up a hope and a prayer.
You know, Evans Jr. has actually played pretty darn well. Jackson Schellstad, I mean, he's out with a hand injury for the rest of the season. Nate Biddle's kind of been in and out, the center for the Ducks. So, yeah, it's just one of those seasons. But, yeah, I like what you're saying, Hunter, just because there's the cohesiveness, not playing as a team. You got to do that, especially in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Things have changed since they got into the Big Ten out of the Pac-12, because the competition is unbelievable. I mean, so, okay, you got Purdue tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just got rocked by Nebraska. You got destroyed by Michigan and Michigan State. And it doesn't get any easier. I mean, I think your easiest team probably is Penn State. I don't even know if they play them this year, who just got rocked by 40 against Michigan the other night. So, I mean, the upper echelon of the Big Ten is superb.
Well, and those are the teams that, you know, because they reach a certain level year after year, their top players don't go searching for better opportunities every offseason, and they're able to just add a few key pieces to support their top players, whereas, you know, from the Ducks' perspective, they had a couple of quality returning guys, but the pieces they've brought in around it haven't built the cohesiveness to compete at the top level.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you know what? Altman's been the Ducks head coach for quite some time. I mean, Ernie Kent was mm-hmm. the previous head coach, and that's been a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't remember what day when that was, probably 2010-ish, 11-ish, somewhere in that vicinity. So he's been here a long time. Maybe it's time. I don't know. I'm sure that Rob Mullins and he might be having some conversations at the end of the season, and we may see a change. Maybe it's time. I don't know.
Yeah. Who knows? We will see. You know, we still got to, you know, a month and a half, almost 2 months worth of basketball to be played. So we'll see how things go. Maybe they'll shock us and get an upset or two come postseason time.
Yeah, I guess it would be just about a month and a half, almost mm-hmm. exactly for that first game in the Big Ten tournament. So, yeah, and then the Beavers on the other side, you got Wayne Tinkle down there in Corvallis. I mean, he's actually had to go outside of the USA. He's got so many players from Europe that are actually pretty stinking good. But again, mm-hmm. they're all new.
Yep. Yeah. They have a double learning curve because they're learning the customs and the language and the and everything else, as long as the basketball program as well.
They've got some good players though.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're 500. They might actually be 500.
They're a game under 500 right now.
Okay.
So, but at the same time, it's with the wild, wild west that is college sports right now, if these guys show that promise, are they going to be here next year? Are they going to transfer out to a Michigan or a Michigan State or, you know, who knows? I mean, there's no predictions right now on the way college sports pans out off season to off season.
Yeah, you know, it's the NCAA, which should be the anything goes league, because that's what's happening right now. And it's really disappointing, Hunter, yeah, to be honest, just to see the way that this thing has transpired. I don't like it.
No.
And I think it's ruined college sports in a big way, even though, you know, you can pay guys, do they deserve it? Yeah, they probably do, but there's no rules.
Yeah. Well, and I think we've talked about it, you know, during the last couple of months through bowl season, how really unattractive bowl games even are now for not only the fans, but for teams as well. I did see earlier this week that the LA Bowl has decided they will no longer continue. So
I think we're going to see more of that.
One down, and yep, they're going to lose a lot of sponsors. Why sponsor these games no one's watching when we can sponsor, you know, the big games that people do watch? So
I think that college basketball still is, you know, just due to March Madness,
yes,
and just the hype behind it, and it's kind of an act of its own, and people just get excited.
Well, it falls right in line with the college football playoffs. These are the ones that are watched because these are the ones mean something. When you're talking about, you know, the basketball playoffs, the field of 64, people are watching that because that's what's going to lead to the championship, and they all want to see the little school come out of nowhere and make a big mark. And to that regard, it's why I sit here and say college football almost needs to follow basketball pattern and say, here's our main bracket, here's our secondary bracket, aka the NIT in basketball, because it still gets people to watch and the eyes are on it because it is that tournament format.
Yeah, and you would think just with the college football side of things, you're still going to get guys that are going to enter the portal if they can, even before a playoff game, mm-hmm, which happened this year, which, yep, I think is... How can you do that? That is wrong.
And well, what they really need to do is virtually you're looking at players getting paid. So one side is honoring a contract, and whether it's a written contract or whatever the scenario is, you have to flip it the other way and create, here is the transfer window from the end of the season till, you know, whatever random day they choose to put it on. And that way you're not doing that. And of course, these college players that are getting paid, it's part of your deal. You're playing in every game your team, you know, hits the field where you are physically able to.
Right. And that's the way that it should be. All right, Hunter, we're going to have to get out to our first break. You're listening to The Sports Ticket. It is a beautiful Friday evening. We'll be back right after this.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to The Sports Ticket. I think both Hunter and I were just kind of yawning here. It's been a long week, and we're just like, man, we are so tired.
Looking back on it, it feels like it flew by, but it also feels like it was just a really long week.
It's weird. The weather was beautiful, mm-hmm, and so I don't know if it's just, you know, sometimes when that sun is at, like, what would you call that, 3 o'clock, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're looking south, and it's weird how when that sun hits your eyes, it kind of makes you tired a little bit. It's really bizarre.
Well, in abnormally warm. I mean, heck, earlier this week, I was out doing some stuff in my yard in shorts and a t-shirt. But then the moment the sun started to go down, all of a sudden it was like, oh man, it's getting cold quick.
It's like 30 degrees, like right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Yeah. A lot of ice in the vehicles this morning, just getting out there. Start those bad boys up. But
then spring comes in during the sunshine and goes back away. Of course, I also noticed there were some bugs out. More bugs than there should be in February.
You know, my daffodils are coming out.
Oh, yeah. You better protect them.
It's almost like Groundhog Day. Mm-hmm. You know, daffodils, groundhogs, they all go in the same. And speaking of that, why wouldn't you order your three-topping Domino's pizza for $7.99? That price hasn't gone up in I don't know how many years. So That's the most affordable pizza that I can even think of. I mean, obviously you have to go carry it out.
Yeah. Well, and as the weather gets colder, it stays hot.
I know. And they do deliver. Mm-hmm. And or you can go online and order there and get, what, 20% off your order? That's what I heard.
That's what I heard. I heard boom.
That's right. Oh, man. So you've got some NFL stuff going on here,
yeah,
Hunter.
Yeah. Last night they did their award ceremony because as we enter Super Bowl week, a lot of the news tampers way down. They kind of give it that little bit of hype right before. Matthew Stafford won his first NFL MVP award.
I think that's pretty cool. You know, he said, what do you have on there? I saw on ESPN earlier that he was like the number one dad. Mm-hmm. And that's really where these guys, a lot of them, they have their priorities straight, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, so he's in his 17th season. He's 37 years old, and he is the oldest player in NFL history to be a first-time MVP.
37?
Yeah, so there, of course, there's the rumors of will he even return. He has announced that he will be back for at least one more year, coming off his MVP campaign. Second place goes to Super Bowl quarterback Drake May. So he came in second. Stafford barely beat him. I think Stafford got 24 of the 50 first place votes, and May got 23 of them.
You know, does that surprise you at all? I mean, when you see the year that Bo Nix had at Denver, mm-hmm. I mean, he was spectacular.
But he unfortunately, that injury, you know, and I don't know if, and I don't know when they ended the MVP voting.
I would think it'd be regular season, not necessarily playoffs,
MVP,
because Stafford lost. He didn't mm-hmm. have a very good game.
No, but, you know, so I don't know. I don't know exactly how it all works. I can see Stafford being the guy, but he only, I mean, out of total points, he got 366. May had 361.
Wow.
And I'm not saying Drake May didn't have a good year, but I'm kind of going, there's a few guys I think had a better one, like Bo Nix being one. Especially in the regular season.
I mean, you could really actually throw Caleb Williams into the mix on that one, too, for Chicago.
Oh, yeah, with his you know, comeback mentality. Mm-hmm. I mean, it, realistically, you got Sam Darnold. He led the number one seed in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, and he could be Super Bowl champion. Mm-hmm. And so could May, for that matter.
That's right. So, but, you know, and of course, JSN, Jackson Smith Njigma, who was the number one receiver for Sam Darnold? JSN.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. The wide receiver.
I didn't quite understand
Seahawks.
That last name.
He did. He did win. Yeah, I just got to refer to him as JSN. He's that cool now. He's just initials.
Acronym.
But he won Offensive Player of the Year in the NFL.
And he should. I mean, that guy's a superstar. What a year he had.
Yeah, and he was on pace to bust a whole lot of records early on. And, you know, then, of course, the defense keyed on him as being the only guy. So everybody else, Cooper Kupp and company, pulled some strings and led him to wins.
You know, I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. What do you think, you know, because the NFL's had a bad rap for, you know, a few years. And do you think that's kind of gone by the wayside, you know, because they've gotten, all the little sayings they have in the end zone.
Yeah.
And it takes all of us. And
well,
I think
that their reputation is improving in that, and I don't even know if it's the NFL that led them down that path, but more the TV networks that wanted to focus on taking the knee or the slogans or any of these other things. They're still there, but they're no longer a focal point of a broadcast.
Well, I think they actually just ruined themselves because mm-hmm. this Sunday, you know, with Bad Bunny... I mean, what is that?
Maybe
some cross-dressing crazy man?
Well,
that doesn't have any place for football.
Well, that at the Grammys, of course, made his political statements, and I'm sure that, you know, knowing how these halftime shows work, there'll be some political statements involved in it. Maybe we need Defensive Player of the Year, Myles Garrett, to go ahead and sack the guy. You know,
yeah, just come out at halftime.
Wouldn't that be an entertaining thing?
Yeah, let's nail
Start
Bad Bunny.
Start the concerts and let him get sacked by Myles Garrett. Come on, that might be the way to do it.
That would be great.
It's
almost like Bob Barker, you know, and Happy Gilmore. Are you in a piece of me, Bob?
Well, and
piece
and
me, Bunny.
There is going to be a kind of a counter halftime show running at the same time, featuring Kid Rock and a few country superstars. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all pans out. You know, for me, when you're watching the Super Bowl, you want to see a good football game, and then you want to be entertained by commercials that can make you laugh or entertain you. And the halftime show just needs to add to that, and I just worry that with the political climate right now and this decision making by the NFL, that that's going to ruin it for some people, including, I mean, there might be people, especially if it's a lopsided game at halftime, that are going to change the channel at halftime and never come back.
You know, they may, Bad Bunny should actually sing Ice Ice Baby.
Oh,
that could be a
maybe
nice
that would have been
statement.
Fun. Have Vanilla Ice come out as a surprise guest.
It's nice to poke fun at this stuff, even though it's kind of disappointing. Yeah. But it's just kind of the age in which we live, how everything is just so polarizing. And really, it's quite frankly, it's irritating.
I just want to watch some football.
Be.
And it's on a day that shouldn't be.
I know.
I mean, you want to talk about this is the most watched event every year for the most part. And especially this year where you have the Seattle Seahawks and New England without Tom Brady, you know, there's not a lot of fans. A lot of people are voting for the Seahawks just so the Patriots don't win another title. And a lot of people are voting for the Patriots just because, you know, see if Drake May can do it. You know, same thing with the Seahawks. They want to kind of see that revenge game. You're not looking at a LA team or a New York team or one of these teams that has a naturally gigantic audience with them just because of their locations.
I think that the Patriots do just because they've been successful for the last 25 years.
They do, but at the same time, it's kind of like a lot of people, it's do I really care that the Patriots are in it again? You know?
I don't know. I think a Super Bowl is a Super Bowl. People are going to watch it.
It's going to be, but my thing is going to be you're going to see a lot of people watching it. If it's not a good game going into halftime, the chances of the TVs being turned off at halftime are greatly improved by not putting forth something that's going to have more mass appeal.
You know, what about the Pittsburgh Steelers? That's not a very big market.
The Steelers are the one that always drives me bonkers because when they're good, Steeler fans come out of the woodwork. All of a sudden, that coworker you've worked with for 6 years shows up in his Steeler colors, and you're like, what are you doing? Oh, I've been a Steeler fan my whole life. It's not like a Raider fan where whether they're good or bad, they're still in their black and silver with their, you know, big headdress on and everything else.
I don't know. There's so much comedy.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I had one fan years ago who, literally, when we asked him about what his favorite NFL team it was, I'm just a fan of the game. So he rooted for whoever was winning.
That's so funny. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with that.
Mm-hmm. Be a fan of the game.
Heck, absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to have to get out to another break. But before we do, the next segment, we got Mike Alliger, who is going to be interviewing Adrian Lewis, who's the South Salem girls head coach, who's done an amazing job this year, has a tremendous team. And so that's going to be a great interview. And I want to also mention that interview is going to be sponsored by Color Tile of Salem right down there on Lancaster Drive. Who's got, he's got the President's Day sale going on right now. So lots of savings at Color Tile if you want to spruce up your home.
Well, and you got Valentine's Day up, so, you know, use that President's Day sale to surprise the missus with a brand new waterproof floor.
That's right. It's the February's the month of love. All right. We're going to get out to a break. Mike Gallagher on the other side with Adrian. We'll be back after this.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
And we return to the Sports Ticket here on KYKN and with kind of on the road with a special interview with one of our local high school coaches here for this segment. And as the head coach of the South Salem girls team for the last 4 or 5 years, he'll tell me here in just a moment. And that's Adrian Lewis. And Adrian, of course, a former Willamette football player, his wife of former Willamette basketball player. So he kind of brings an athletic way to the how he's doing things and how the Saxons are doing right now at 16-2, 3-1 in the CBC. And ranked in the OSAA rankings at number 3. Coach Lewis, my goodness, you're having a halfway decent season.
Yeah, it's been incredible. Thanks for having me. I'm excited for this opportunity. This is going to be my 9th year as the head coach. I know it's time.
You're getting old.
Time flies. It seems like yesterday I was still at Willamette playing football. So yeah. It's great to be here.
Talk about what it's like to go from not coaching, but playing football, having a wife who played and was a very good performer at Willamette, an all-conference player over there. And then you're over here and you're learning to coach basketball, and then you end up coaching girls basketball. A lot of people may find that, I don't know, it's not odd, but just what's the difference? How did you get drawn to the girls' side?
I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of great coaches in my life as I started to get into that realm. Scott Defoe, he's the one that actually brought me over here to South as a football coach. And I was supposed to be the offensive coordinator for the freshman team. And when was that, 2011 or something like that? And ended up being the head coach right before season started because the head coach had to leave. So I got thrown in the mix real early. I had the great support of Scott Defoe, and he's been coaching longer than I have been alive. He made sure I knew that several times. But just to learn things from him has shaped me kind of who I am. And then Tyler Allen actually had me join his staff when he was the head coach for the boys side. Another incredible coach that went on to the state, I don't know how many years in a row. And it was just, I had two really good mentors in my coaching, early on in my coaching, that kind of shaped who I am. And I learned a lot of things and was able to kind of do my own things at the same time. Then with Nick McWilliams leaving, the legendary coach here, who won two state championships and then a third place, I was able to talk to him, and he actually started on the boys' side.
Right.
And so when I was thinking about, hey, should I do this, I kind of talked to him, and he kind of told me his story, and it was very similar to mine. I said, why not? Let's give it a shot. I knew I wanted to be a head coach. At the time, I didn't know if it was for football or basketball, and I'm glad I chose basketball because it's been incredible for me.
I think Nick did pretty well. I saw him last week at Corvallis. Katie, his daughter, who played here at South, but also at Oregon State for 4 years, they did pretty well together. Nick's now over helping the state and girls, I believe, being number one on the state over there at the 4A level. So you were tootled well, if you will. Yeah. Talk about the conference has changed a lot in the last 9 years you've been here. You'll get five teams, you get nine teams. You're playing in Southern Oregon, you're playing in the Valley. It's jumped around quite a bit, but that hasn't kept you from becoming successful and remaining that way. At 3-1, you're in the tops of the conference. You've still got the big meat of the conference left with West Salem, a couple times with McNary, Sprague as well, and then one out-of-town game. But most recently, you've been having some success, and one of those reasons is you've had a pretty deep team. A lot of seniors, experienced younger people as well.
Yeah, I think right now we have a good mix of girls. We have five seniors. Two of them have been starters for me since their freshman year, in Emma and Brooke. Then the transfer coming over from Chica Casas. This is her fourth year starting at the varsity level. So that just brings a lot of experience and knowledge. Then Frankie has been with me for the last 3 years. She's always continued to grow and get better. And then just the new core of girls kind of coming in. Autumn Palmer, she's a freshman, and she's kind of been lighting it up lately. She's had a couple double-double games over the last 2 weeks. Wadsworth, I actually coached all her sisters, so she's the last one I will coach, and she just brings the energy and defense. And kind of the one that's hasn't been talked about is Layla Palmer. She's a senior as well. She's been with me since her freshman year. She was out last year with the ACL tear, right. And so now she's finally becoming healthy and confident in her knee, and it's good to see her kind of back in the mix of things.
Head coach Adrian Lewis of the South Salem Saxon girls team here on Sports Ticket this afternoon. I look here and I see that, you know, you have what I love to call and watch, and a lot of coaches don't like to run it. It's a real fast-paced offense. You like that swarming full-court defense. You pick your pocket, cause them to travel, cause them to turn it over, or just freak out because they don't know where to pass it. Whatever it is you do, using your speed, your athleticism, and of course, these girls, they don't care who scores, from what I hear. They don't care who gets the pass out. They just want to put it in the bucket.
Yeah, no, that's kind of always been my kind of mantra on things is obviously everyone wants someone that can get 20 points a game. But I feel like it's harder to scout against a team that anyone can get 20 points. And so far this season, we've had at least five different girls lead our team in points. And so again, if you're going to take one option away, then other girls have stepped up in that role. But we want to play fast. And we kind of made that a point of emphasis this summer, telling the girls, hey, you guys need to be in shape day one. Hey, this is what we're going to do. We did it in summer ball. Keep this up. And it's been great to see all the girls kind of buy in. Some days are better than others. And well, so far, we've been fortunate enough to be healthy, knock on wood. Hopefully I don't jinx that. But it's really been kind of our guard play. One person is Leah Ione. She's been incredible. She's a junior this year. And she's kind of the She's just a force. She's strong. She's fast. She's coachable. And she's kind of our defensive tone setter. Then Chica has the quick hands and Frankie with her length. And it always helps. They can gamble a little bit more because our back end with our front court of Autumn, Emma, or Brooke kind of are there to help out when needed. So, yeah.
Lee Ione, of course, her father, Kip Ione, the head boys coach, classmate of yours or your wife's, one of the two, and also the head is coach over at Willamette, assistant coach, former player at Willamette. I remember Leah and her brother at halftime. They were the show at Willamette. They'd go out and shoot and dribble and do whatever they wanted to do with the ball as little kids. When you talk about this group, you don't come together unless there's a lot of cohesion, a lot of strict coaching, but also time to have fun. And one of the things I noted in an article written by Landon over at the Statesman Journal this week, you said that family is an acronym that the team uses on a daily basis. And it's not just a word because you are a family. You're a basketball family. And you'll always be that too, by the way. And every those girls are going to know that in 25 years. But the acronym stands for a sentence that you try to live by.
Yeah. Forget about me. I love you. It's what family stands for us. It's more of like, just like, if you're not having a good day, if your shot's not falling, if you feel like you're the worst basketball player ever, it's not always about you. Yourself is not going to cost the team. Mm-hmm. It's all about trying to build each other up, and loving each other. And that's, I feel just like as a society today, there's a lot of selfishness happening. And so for me, it's trying to make girls think outside the box, make girls think for each other and put them in situations where they can have that. And we do a lot of stuff off the court that goes unnoticed. We have a team dinner every week at someone's house, a parent hosts at their house. We go on, like this year we went to San Diego where the girls had to live with each other for 4 nights. And so we're doing things nonstop, not just on the court, but off the court to really make sure they can buy in with each other and trust each other. Wow. And not shy away from the tough times, addressing it, because we're going to get in each other's nerves. It's just like a family. I never agreed with my mom or dad every single time, or my brother, we always fought, or my sister, we always fought. But when, if something happens to my family, I don't care what argument I had with that person, with that mom or dad, brother, sister, I'm going to have their back. And that's what we try to instill in this, where, hey, you guys are going to argue. Someone's going to get mad because they missed a rotation or you didn't pass it to them. But if we're going against another team, we got to forget about that and just love each other and keep going.
Everyone has a role. Some are starters at the beginning of the year and become off the bench players and vice versa. And some of them don't play a lot. They come in and do spot duty depending on what the other team gives. And that's a big thing, is accepting that you're a role player, no matter what that role is.
Yeah. I'm still trying to make sure I love the role players up and make sure we're all on the same page. Some years are better than others, making sure girls know that. But yeah, I beginning of the year, I say, I don't need 5 girls to score the basketball. I need 5 girls that can play defense. So if you can play defense, you're going to find a spot in this rotation, whether that's starting or not. Then the offense we can get into or put you in situations to succeed.
Central Valley Conference, the CVC, you're on the top of that right now. You're ranked by the OSAA in their little computerized rankings at number 3. You've been in the top 5 for a few weeks. The coaches, they don't have that much confidence. You're 8 or 9, depending on what week it is, and that doesn't really mean anything because what means in the playoffs is what the OSAA says. Do you think maybe you're ranked too high? Do you think you're right where you should be? Or do you know?
You never know. Again, I don't put our success on what a computer tells us or what other coaches tell us. I put our worth into how we're playing, and we've been playing basketball pretty well this whole season, and especially the last couple of games we've been kind of turning it on. And so I'm just going to focus on us. People could always say where we should be, and at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter until the last game of the season. Then that's when the OSA ranking really matters, because that's when all the matchups we hoped to be top 8 by the end of the year, but we're not going to look into it too much right now.
South Salem girls coach Adrian Willis with us here on the Sports Ticket. When you talk about where you're at now and where you need to be in a month from now so you can get into the tournament, you're in a pretty good play. You're pretty in a pretty good shot right now. You'd have to lose a lot of ball games to really drop down low enough to where you wouldn't even make the playoffs with the depth and with the talent you have. I don't think that's going to happen. But what could be a problem along the way? No injuries. And that's the big thing. But what else? Is it the season's too long, or the school's too tough, or what could it be? Or is there anything?
I mean, we're not the biggest team, and so teams that have some size could give us some matchup problems, but we played some teams that we played Century the first game. We had a 6'5 girl, and we did pretty well against that. Again, it's just making sure we are together. Basketball is a long season. I think winter sports in general is the hardest. It's the longest season. It goes over two major holidays. It goes over a big winter break gap. It seems like we've been in season for about 5-6 months. And so making sure we can come together still, making sure we still motivate these girls to where they need to be. Again, all we can do is focus on us and making sure they're engaged and ready each game.
Not to pick anybody, and I'm going to close it out here with Coach Lewis, and that is you don't like necessarily eliminate anybody because they're all every night and someone else can win. But is there one team that maybe worries you a little bit in the next few weeks when you've got to play West two more times, McNary twice, Sprague once?
I don't overlook anyone. West Salem is a well-coached team. Their transition offense is pretty phenomenal to watch. They're all over the place. And so we got two more games against them that we got to be ready for. Sprague has two really good guards in Lucy and Carly who can drop 20 at any night. And even McNary, they're well-coached over there too. They play solid defense, and they have Aubrey who can shoot from anywhere in the gym. And so I'm never going to overlook anyone. And all we have to do is, again, get the girls focused, get the girls ready, and bring our best shot every time.
He's head coach Adrian Lewis of the South Salem Saxon girls. I wish you good luck, coach. You know how I feel about you. So I'm pulling for you. And I like to pull for everybody. But a great season lay ahead. The South Salem Saxon girls have West Salem on Friday night. And then they schedule goes on into February into the playoffs. We wish the Saxons well. We thank the coach for his time today. And a sports ticket will roll along when those other two guys get back right after this break here on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Appreciate Mike Gallagher having that great interview with Coach Adrian, a South Salem High School girls team.
Yeah, Charlie has been the last 2 weeks was at, calling the games for them South Salem girls. First at McNary, then at Sprague, and both games looked competitive early on, and then South Salem just slowly built a nice lead and kind of cruised out the games. That is going to be a quality team to follow come the postseason.
It's going to be fun. See how far they go. Mm-hmm. Solid team. She's done a great job.
All right. We should probably turn our attention to the one thing happening in sports this weekend, a.k.a. the Super Bowl.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Bowenvine Burger Bar right down there on Commercial Street, where you should get a burger before you even go to the game. Well, actually, I don't think they're open on Sundays, but for a good reason.
I would check and see, because they might, now that they're across the street from Northern Lights, I think that logically people like to go to that after church movie, and might be a good place to get a little bite to eat on the way.
I'm wondering if Northern Lights is actually having the Super Bowl on there.
That would be fun.
I mean, I don't know.
Some options.
Burger in a movie? I mean,
if you don't have your Super Bowl party plans, look into this one. Let us know.
Oh, man. So, yeah, the Super Bowl, the Seahawks versus the Patriots. And the Patriots have to travel all the way across the country, even though they've been here probably for at least a week.
Yeah, I think even the Seahawks have been down in the Bay Area for a week. So, all the Super Bowl festivities. Game starts at about 3:30 local time from Levi Stadium in Santa Clara, California. And a lot of the talk right now is New England had a very light schedule all season long. Should they really be there? A lot of the predictions are favoring the Seahawks to kind of bully their way through this thing. The spread right now is the Seahawks by 4.5 points.
You know, do I think that's reasonable? I guess. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to really know. I mean, the game 2 weeks ago at Denver was kind of an anomaly. I don't think that the Patriots would have won that game if Peyton, the head coach for Denver, would have kicked a field goal instead of going for it on fourth down with your backup quarterback. And then that crazy fumble, shovel, whatever the heck that was, from the Denver quarterback. I can't hear. What was the guy?
It was Stiddy. Kind of his nickname that Stiddy. Tom Brady gave him.
Yeah, I guess when you have a game like that, people just kind of forget you. But
well, and that's the thing is that game was so up in the air. If it had been tied at 10-10 when that snowstorm hit, it would have been anybody's game. And that's kind of where I look at it. The Seahawks against the Rams, arguably, I mean, Stafford just won MVP, one of the best teams in the league, obviously, in the Rams. The Seahawks had control of that game throughout, and minus a couple of penalties, which allowed the Rams to really stick with them. I think that the Seahawks kind of blew their opportunity to really control that game 100% and cruise to victory. On the other side, even in the first half, it's not like Drake May led the Patriots to a decisive win. He wasn't overpowering the Broncos. He wasn't, you know, and I look at it comparing the Patriots to the Rams. There's only one Puka Nacua, and Stephon Diggs isn't him, especially at this point in his career. This isn't even the Stephon Diggs of his Bills days. Rams also utilized all three tight ends, got plenty of receptions. New England's really only got one, you know. I just sit here and kind of go, I think the Rams matched up with the Seahawks better than New England does. Over on NFL.com, they've kind of released their predictions. 21 of their experts, and I'll use the air quotes, said the Seahawks are going to roll to a 1-2 score victory pretty easily. Three of their experts say that the Patriots are going to win this game, but all three of them are within, you know, one score at the most. One Patriots 24, Seahawks 21, another Patriots 24, Seahawks 23, and the other one, Patriots 23, Seahawks 20 in overtime.
You know, I think the only way that the Patriots win is if they create a heck of a lot of turnovers, and I think their defense is going to have to play a lot better. Mm-hmm. I know we talked at the break how, you know, Stidy in the first half, he was able to just drive his team down the field without much effort.
Yeah.
As the backup quarterback. I mean, granted, you're good, but the weather, I don't think that thing would have gone into a stalemate because nobody could kick a field goal at the end of that game. The wind was blowing. It was snowing like mad. It was absolutely impossible unless you got a breakaway.
It was even hard to run the ball.
So you couldn't even see where you were on the field.
Well, that was what it would have been is which running back was lucky enough to make a cut and not lose their footing and break away from the defense. That's what that game would have come down to.
So personally, I think that the Patriots got lucky just to win that game just due to the weather. That favored them. It did not favor Denver at all. Mm-hmm. But I think the Seattle defense is playing extremely well, and I think they're going to shut down that Patriots offense, which is okay. And like you said, I mean, yeah, have they had a weak schedule? Well, I mean, it's the NFL. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's great teams all over the place, and they ended up getting there. Mm-hmm. So you got to give them credit for that. But I just think Sam Darnold and staff, crew, whatever, mm-hmm. players, they're just on a roll right now. And defensively, these guys are animals. I keep coming back to their defense. I think their mm-hmm. defense wins championships, and I think Seattle's is the better D.
Yeah, well, and even with these predictions, looking through these predictions, virtually the IOTAs, every across the board is predicting New England to have between 17 and 24 points. I mean, that's literally the common prediction, whether win or lose.
That seems like a lot of points to me. Sorry, I just hit my microphone there.
Oh, that's okay. I know you're getting a little flustered by it, but the thing is that that means that they have to hold the Seahawks to less than that in order to win.
I don't see that happening.
And I don't either.
I mean, you got Charbonnet. He's out with an injury, but it's Walker.
Walker's picking up
the
slack.
Guy's a stud. I mean, good luck stopping all the weapons that they have offensively. It's virtually impossible.
Well, in JSN, the Offensive Player of the Year in the NFL, he is the top receiver in the NFL right now. And even if you were to double or triple cover him, Cooper Kupp and the rest of the crew around him has picked up the slack. What we saw last week or 2 weeks ago and throughout the playoffs and even late into the season, other guys are doing it when JSN is not.
You know, I think the key for the Patriots is they're going to have to rush Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think that they're going to be able to do it. And the reason I say that is you can just look back 1 year when Darnold was the quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings. And I can't remember who they played, but where they just got pummeled. They got to him in a big, fat way, and he couldn't do anything. He started to get scared, but he's had plenty of time in the pocket. This is not the same Sam Darnold that I saw last year. So he must have learned a lot. And I think he's ready to go. I think this guy's going to win a Super Bowl on Sunday.
Oh, yeah. I think so. I think this will be the Seahawks' second Super Bowl. Come the end of the show, we can give out some predictions of what we think Super Bowl Sunday is going to look like. But, yeah, I just sit here and I look at the two matchups, and I go, the Seahawks have so many weapons. And going into the season, I didn't think they'd be here. I questioned if the defense is strong enough, and I questioned the offensive line. Both of them have come out to look like studs this year, which puts a lot of the pressure onto New England to pull a major upset, which I don't think they have the ability to do right now.
I don't either, and I think it really comes down to the coaching staff because they weren't that great, you know, the last couple of years. But Sam Darnold, you know, I think he must have – whoever's coaching that guy, maybe he's got a new psychologist or something, but he's a different QB behind the line this year, and it shows. There's so much confidence.
All right, let's jump out to a break. ESPN has put out five key matchups in this Super Bowl to pay attention to.
Are you telling me to be quiet?
Well, let's break down these matchups. We got a couple more breaks still before we turn over to Charlie McGuire at South Salem for the West Salem at South Salem boys basketball game here coming up. You're listening to Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN.
Back to the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter on 1430 KYKN.
And here we are back at the Sports Ticket. It is the Friday before the Super Bowl. What's the date on that? It's going to be February 8th. I think that's what it is. It seems late. Typically, it's not that. It's
like
the 4th or something.
Everything seems late this year.
I know. I feel late.
I can't believe it's already February. Really. I mean, 2026. February of 2026.
It feels like April.
That's right.
With this weather that we've had. But this segment being brought to you by Auto Team Service Center, a better way to maintain your car. We've given them plenty of business. Shoot, the past 2 weeks.
That's right. We've been went busy down there.
And I think we're going there again next week on Tuesday.
Yeah. We won't get too far into it. We don't need to know where the secret van will be.
Yeah, that's right.
all right. So Super Bowl coming up. ESPN's put out a list of the five key matchups during the Super Bowl to keep an eye on. And they're starting with Patriots cornerback Christian Gonzalez versus Seahawks wide receiver JSN. And I think JSN has the advantage in this one. Christian Gonzalez is a good corner, but I don't think this season anybody can cover JSN one-on-one.
You know, Christian Gonzalez was at Colorado for a few years and then spent his last year at the University of Oregon and played pretty good. But, I think he's got his hands full, and I think he's going to have a long Sunday.
Yeah, they're going to need to have a little safety help over the top. Speaking of rushing... Sam Darnold. The next one on here is Patriots defensive tackle Milton Williams versus Seahawks guard Anthony Bradford. Rating-wise, Bradford, one of the Seahawks guards, is the weakest link on that group of five, but at the same time, they've done a pretty good job of protecting Sam Darnold this year.
Well, that's going to be a key, like I talked about in the last segment. You've got to be able to protect Sam Darnold, and if you can't, that's going to be a problem. May have to double-team that guy just to make sure that he has plenty of time, or mix it up a little bit, throw some screen plays, keep everybody honest. I mean, they'll have a game plan for it. I think they're going to be ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so, too, and you know, the knock on Darnold, we'll probably get to this one in a little bit, has been the interceptions this year. I think that's what New England has to hope for, is get to him and cause some disruption, mm-hmm. make some interceptions. Will they be able to do it? That'll be the question mark. Next matchup is Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels versus Seahawks corner Devin Witherspoon. So I think this is about, do you throw in that guy's direction or do you move your receivers out of the way to try and... not go to the top corner on the Seahawks defense.
Well, I think they're going to have to do something. I don't know. I think that Seahawks are going to have a good game plan. I don't know how that's all going to play out, but I think you have to go. You have to go there.
Yeah, you have to be able to move the ball anywhere on the field. Maybe they'll come up with some schemes to try and get Witherspoon off of Diggs onto somebody else. You never know. That's kind of the little trickery in the pregame preparation. Patriots offensive tackle Will Campbell versus Seahawks defensive end DeMarcus Lawrence. I think Lawrence may have a lot of fun this week with that offensive tackle for the Patriots. I mean, they've done a good job, but you're talking about the way the Seahawks defense has been this year and the way they just blaze to the ball, I think that's going to be a big story throughout this game.
That defensive line is steamrolling to the quarterback all year long. They have done an extremely good job, and I like that matchup. I think Lawrence is definitely going to win all day long. So it should be fun. I think that May's going to have some issues. He's going to have to run the football. He's going to get flushed, and he can. He's a big dude.
Yep. All right. And then the final matchup of the weekend, Seahawks quarterback Sam Darnold versus Seahawks quarterback Sam Darnold. And this is, I mean, this
is that
been
a catch
22? Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, Darnold last week had the best game of his season. But you go back a few weeks earlier and, you know, especially against the Rams, the first time they matched up, Sam Darnold threw, I think, four picks. The second time they matched up, he threw two picks. That's been Darnold's Achilles heel. That's what kept him out of that MVP race is he threw a lot of interceptions. Luckily, the defense was able to pick it up and keep the other teams from scoring on those picks.
That is going to be a problem. And we talked about turnovers earlier as well. Whichever team has the most turnovers is the one who's going to lose, unfortunately. I don't think you can overcome them in a game like this. So, yeah, Sam Darnold, better keep your eyes peeled.
That's right. Well, and like we said, is that's what New England's got to do, is put the pressure on and get Darnold to make some mistakes and then capitalize on him, which, you know, as we've seen this season, easier said than done when you're talking about the Seahawks defense.
Yeah, I think the offensive line is actually playing really well, and the defense has been solid. So, again, I think Seahawks pull this one off, and well, I guess we'll get to that.
Yeah, let's go and take our last break, and we'll come back and give you our Super Bowl predictions. You're listening to Sports Ticket on 1430 KYKN.
The Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter continues on 1430 KYKN.
And welcome back to the Sports Ticket. Last little segment here before we pass it off to Charlie McGuire down at South Salem High School. Right, for that matchup, South Salem and West Salem. Isn't that right?
It is. It's going to be a fun night of high school basketball.
Good. We'll pass it off to him on the other side. But until we do that, this thing being brought to you by Bi-Mart, our friends down at the employee-owned Bi-Mart store. We have one right down the street from us in Kaiser, and there's one near you in your vicinity. Got to reiterate, employee-owned. I mean, these people take care of. They got great prices down there, so always good deals.
Yeah, always good deals at Bi-Mart. Plus, you got to throw in Lucky Number Tuesday.
That's right.
Next week.
LNT.
That's right. All right. Super Bowl prediction. So, I feel like it's going to be a Seahawks victory 31-20.
Well, shoot, you just went right into it there, didn't you?
31-20. I have to just go out there and I'm going to tell you. Well, I think the way I see it going is it'll probably be like 17-7 at halftime and then probably like 31-13 by the end of the third quarter. And that late score gives New England their 20.
You really thought this one out.
I have. I thought it through.
Well, I'm going to go a little bit less than that. I'm going to go Seattle 27 and the Patriots 17. I think Seattle's going to hold them to one less score, field goal.
Yep.
But, I think the Seattle defense is what's really going to be the winner on Sunday. They've been good all season long, and I see them getting after May, and I think they're going to pull this one off.
I think so, too. Get that second Super Bowl championship to Seattle. And, of course, everybody can make their own decisions on the halftime show they choose to watch.
Or just don't watch it at all. I mean,
that's a good time to go to the bathroom and snacks, right?
All right. Are we done, Hunter?
We're done.
All right. We're going to pass it off to Charlie McGuire. Thanks for listening, everybody. South Salem and West Salem coming up next. We'll see you next week.
This has been the Capital Toyota Sports Ticket with Jeff and Hunter every Friday at 5 p.m. on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.